Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Let's read the opening prayer for today's Mass together. Look kindly, Lord, we pray, on the devotion of your people, that those who by self-denial are restrained in body may by the fruit of good works be renewed in mind. What are you denying yourself during this Lent? That by self-denial we become more restrained in our body. Our bodies and its desires are more under our control when we really do deny them, when we give up certain things. I remember as a child, even as a young adult, I was going to do two or three or four things during Lent, most of which petered out somewhere in the second week of Lent. But now I think I'm a little wiser. Whatever it is that I do for Lent, I take one area, just one thing. For me, last year, it was motivation. What motivates me? And it has become a daily habit now of mine to examine my motivation. What happened during Lent of last year was that it opened my eyes to see. I was inspired by God to do it. You too can be inspired by God. What is it? What is it that, from your perspective now, what is it that you think most holds you back from God? Then take it to the Lord. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I'll give up sweets, or I'll give up dessert, or I'll give up whatever. Think. What is it that I need in my life that I don't have, or what is it that I have that I should get rid of? And then say, Lord, come with your grace. Come with your grace. When you draw near to me, I have power and I have strength to do what is right and good. But left to my own devices, I won't. So, Lord, come to me and show me, what's the obstacle you want me to deal with? He'll show you. It'll be pretty clear. It might be very glaring right now before you. It might be a habit. It might be a pattern of sin. Something that you ought to give up. Maybe there's a need to tame your temper more. Your selfishness. Whatever it might be. What is it? Because when we give these to God, it's God who gives us the grace and power to change. He won't force us to change. He offers it. So what is it that you think most substantially keeps you back from growing in a relationship with God? Face it, because God has the power to help you to change. He really does. We read now again from the prophet Jonah. We've read from him a few times in the last number of months, this time chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. These are pagan people. And as you'll see in later chapters, our prophet, so to speak, Jonah, saw them as real pagans, and he felt like what he was doing was announcing to them what was going to happen. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And he thought, that's what ought to happen. Nineveh should be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God. Think of that. They heard the gospel preached, and this city of pagan people believed. They proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth, a sign then of repentance. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles. Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. They were visited by an action of God. God touched their hearts, and they responded, en masse. They responded. And when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. I think today, speaking as an American, I think today we need, as a whole people, to repent of our sin, to turn from our evil ways, to turn back to God. God would choose to sovereignly act like that, as he did in Nineveh. Blessed be God. But I think he says to us, you know my word. You're not ignorant of my word. You know what I ask of you. Are you doing it? Because, brothers and sisters, the accounting will come. Not just in the life to come, but it may come now. It may come while we're alive. Turn from your wicked ways. And the more you individually turn, the more grace is poured out, and the more people have an opportunity to change. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Have mercy on me. So let's not point our fingers at others and say, well, the world would be better if so-and-so did such and such. Start with yourself. Always begin with yourself. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. In other words, God doesn't want just ritual. He doesn't want just external actions. They are not pleasing to him. He wants your heart. And when your heart and your external action come together, that pleases him. But just to do the external thing is not sufficient. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit. See, the wisdom comes. This is what I will offer you as a contrite spirit. Instead of defending my actions, instead of excusing my actions, instead of lying about my actions, my sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. When we come before the Lord honestly and tell him, yes, we have sinned and what we have done, it comes with great mercy. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, this generation, now remember, we had the first reading was from Jonah, the Old Testament. And now Jesus is saying to the people gathering around him, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. Jesus was our call. Jesus was our sign to repent. And how many generations after generations have refused? At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them because she came. This is the queen who came to visit Solomon. She came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. Who? Himself, Jesus. But he said, you don't see. You're evil. You seek some kind of a sign when I am right here in your midst. We become blind, brothers and sisters, by sin. That's what blinds us. That's why we can't see him. That's why we can't hear him. Because we're sinners. But if we repent and turn away from sin, we begin to see with new eyes and to hear with new ears. Sin blocks our life with God. Repent. Turn away. And as often as you sin, turn back to God. Never tire of repenting. Never. And he will bless you. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it. The generation, the pagan generation, will condemn this generation who has Christ present right among them because of the preaching of Jonah, just a prophet sent by God. They repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here. I am the Savior of the world. I am the Christ. Nineveh repented at the words of a prophet. And we choose not to repent when we are the people who live after the incarnation. He has become flesh. He has dwelt among us. We have all the testimony over thousands of years. And still we say, I'll only believe what I want to believe. I'm not getting caught up in that Christian stuff. I hear it all over the place. What you're doing is putting the nails in your own coffin, if that's how you think. If you refuse to accept him in this life, brothers and sisters, how will he know you? He will say to us, I never knew you. It doesn't matter how many times we sin or fail him or doubt or even disbelieve. It's when we turn back and say, I'm sorry, help me. Because every time we say, I'm sorry, God hears. And God, in his mercy, draws near to us. Right then. He never is deaf to a cry for mercy. He's never deaf to a cry for forgiveness. But we, in our arrogance and our blindness and our deafness that comes from our sin, spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, it's as lethal, if not more lethal, than human deafness and human blindness. It's more lethal because it can deprive us of eternal life. Please, please turn to him. Please be honest before him. Please read his word every day. Please, in this first week of Lent, please say to the Lord, what is it that most holds me back from you, that I may follow you more closely? And he will show you. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.